All right, thank you for the introduction. As was said, we did some research to look at drought stress and creeping bed grass and looked at the effects of polyamine treatment. And so how did these two treatments affect both the physiology of the turf grass and also the transcriptome or the gene expression of the plants? So why did I become interested in looking at these polyamine compounds, which I'll describe what they are in a second? Mostly because they're compounds that are related to a broad spectrum of stress tolerance, meaning that they're involved in not just one stress like drought, but also salt stress and high temperature in different species. But not much is known about these types of compounds, or pretty much when I started working on it, nothing was known about these compounds in turf grass species that are important to us. And also another reason or justification is that the differences in species in terms of how these compounds change in accumulation due to different stresses is quite different. The response to drought stress in an Arabidopsis plant compared to a resurrection plant is opposite. So the biosynthesis pathway of polyamines that I'll speak of are the higher ordered polyamines called putrescine, spermidine, and spermine. Excuse me. And so Arabidopsis plants tend to accumulate putrescine more, and resurrection plants, obviously very drought tolerant or escape drought very well, shift towards spermine. So how do turf grass plants respond in terms of content and also in terms of exogenous application of these compounds? How would turf grasses respond? So there are also some other reasons that I was interested in them in terms of their role and mechanisms related to stress tolerance. One of the major ones is osmotic adjustment, or keeping water in the cells in times of stress by osmosis, and also related to different hormone interactions. Their polyamines have been known to prevent fruit ripening or interact with ethylene, and obviously in turf grasses we kind of want that stay green response in times of stress, so we don't want to see our turf grass areas look necrotic. So I won't spend too much time on methods because I have a lot of slides to present, but if there's any questions, please let me know. This was a series of growth chamber studies that we did. We did low-level treatment of these polyamines and also higher-level studies on them in terms of the concentrations. And the low-level studies was about 3 growth chamber studies, and the higher-level one was 1 growth chamber study. And so in the low-level studies, we saw minor increases in the water relations of the plant, not major differences in water usage, so things like transpiration, water content of the soil, that kind of thing was not different. However, just small increases in relative water content due to polyamine treatment. But we saw major differences in the photochemical health due to that low-level treatment. As you can see, the polyamine-treated plants here, these are spermidine and spermine treatments, had an increase in photochemical efficiency and also quantum yield, which often indicates drought stress tolerance better and earlier. So these were both in Pencross and also Pen-G2. And then so the higher level study we started to see more differences in the actual water relations of the turf grass. You can see the polyamine treatments here had much higher relative water content due to spermine treatment and compared to the control plants. So visually, we could see this in terms of turf quality and a lot of other different physiological things that we measured. But of course, for sake of time, we only included a few. So here's spermidine at 1 millimolar compared to the controls, and then spermidine at 5 millimolar compared to the controls. And you can see less browning, less senescence, less drying, so overall greener and more turgid look of the plants. So that was enough justification, at least for myself, to want to go look at this further and see what type of gene expression changes were related to this response. And also I wanted to know, I wanted a transcriptomic picture or a total gene expression picture of just creeping bed grass in response to drought stress in the control condition, so not even considering any polyamine treatment. So this project gave us both of those two things. So RNA-seq methods, of course you extract RNA and we use the bioanalyzer to determine that we had high quality RNA, and I'll show you those results. Then we did sequence on a high-seq 2500 Illumina machine. Assembly was performed to kind of put all those sequences together, and we got 500,000 contigs, or quote-unquote transcripts, and those were filtered to remove, you know, very small sequences, remove a lot of junk, quote-unquote DNA sequences, and so we were able to recover 81,000 contigs coming from an estimated 51 plus or minus 1,000 genes here. So then we, after you have all this data, I think it was about 4 gig of data, or more than that, and I was like, ah. But so then you do pairwise analysis and cluster analysis, and things start coming together and making some sense, and you're able to visualize some of this data with some of this new software. So you can look at differential expression among the treatments with things like BLAST2GO and Vent software, and then so about 9,000 transcripts were differentially expressed among any of the treatments. So here's the bioanalyzer results. So we had high enough quality RNA to proceed, except for one sample, but this is perfectly acceptable, and we had enough biological replicates to proceed. And so this is the kind of heat map showing the correlation of the reps that you have. So you're able to visualize. It's hard to run just any stats. Like, this is not turf quality where you could just run stats on this. So this type of correlation analysis is so that you can visualize whether your samples look the same among your treatments. So here are all the watered samples, either treated or not treated with spermidine, and they all look very consistent. And here are the drought control samples, and here are the drought spermidine samples. So again, we had great results in terms of being able to proceed and get some differential expression analysis out of this work. And you can also kind of do that pairwise comparison analysis and look at the sheer numbers. As I said, I won't go into specific numbers, but about 9,000 transcripts overall were differentially expressed. Of course, there's some overlap in those transcripts here, so these numbers don't equal 9,000, but that's kind of the total overall number. And then you can also do cluster analysis, to try to orient you here. So you can do cluster analysis to see among groups of transcripts how the expression is similar due to a treatment. So this is the well-watered plants here, and this group happened to have similar expression. And so you see the drought stress samples here had a similar expression in this group of transcripts. And then you have the reverse situation going here. So just another way to check that, among your reps, you're getting a similar result in this gene expression data. And then so, you can look at all these transcripts overall and then look at the gene ontologies of these transcripts and what is their actual function. And so there's a lot of different things you can zone in on once they've been categorized with the gene ontology, like response to stress, cellular metabolic process, and so on. So I'll kind of break this overall main pie down into more manageable pies and more manageable data. And so the differentially expressed genes due to drought stress and creeping bentgrass, so this is just watered compared to control, water compared to drought in the control, so no spermidine here. So we recover 6,500 genes total differentially expressed, and then about 4,000 and about 2,500 were up or down regulated. So obviously you're seeing a major change in the transcriptome in response to drought stress and creeping bentgrass. And to pare that down, because you get a lot of just like housekeeping genes and things like that in there, to pare that down, I looked at the gene ontologies that were very closely associated with either water stress or abiotic stress or oxidative stress or response to ABA. Among those, I think that's 7 gene ontology groups, and I can see that there was 627 genes upregulated by drought and 346 genes downregulated by drought. So these are kind of the ones that we could potentially focus on for improving drought tolerance in creeping bentgrass or other turf grass species. And so those genes, if you put them in a pie graph, you see a lot of things like binding, catalytic activity, and other kind of more interesting things related to drought stress, such as antioxidant activity. And if you kind of put that into Excel and look at these changes, we see a lot of, as just one example, we see a lot of changes in peroxidase activity. And peroxidase is highly associated with detoxification of H2O2. And other responses to stress in the cell. So, the gene expressions that we were seeing looked very consistent with what is known with drought stress, but also there was some interesting things specific to creeping bentgrass, at least in my opinion. So now we'll shift toward the effects of spermidine. And in the software, I've kind of had fun playing around This is all new to me, of course. I did not work on this in my doctoral work. I had fun playing around with these keg pathways that you can download directly into the software, and you can see your gene or different enzymes that are changing, and then look directly at the pathway to, you know, see where it is, see what's going on. So this is the spermidine pathway right here with putrescine, spermidine, and spermidine in there as well. And so the effects of spermidine under the watered condition, so no drought stress here, just the watered controls compared to the watered spermidine plants. And in terms of on a large biological scale, there's not much of a major effect going on here, but we did see some up and down regulated due to spermidine, so I think I'll touch on those briefly. And then, again, you can see, if you look at the cluster analysis, you can see that here's your water plants in this group of transcripts, and here's your drought without spermidine, and here's the spermidine plants exposed to drought stress. There's this, moderation of damage. So there was a mitigation of drought stress damage, at least in this grouping of transcripts, in response to the polyamine treatment and creeping mcgrass. And then, so you can look at many different Venn diagrams and entire head spins, but so essentially the watered versus drought controls are here, the watered spermidine versus drought spermidine are here, so you can see what genes are in common, or just responding just to drought, or responding just to spermidine treatment in addition to drought. So that's very informative. And then you can break those down again into pies and look specifically at, related to spermidine, how is it improving stress tolerance? So you look at, focus in on the categories that are related to stress, so response to stress, response to chemical stimulus, response to abiotic stimulus, so some just examples there. And so one example was annexin enzyme, which I'd never even heard of before, is actually involved in peroxidase activity, actin binding, so it has been associated with stress tolerance in other plant species, but at least in my work on drought and creeping mcgrass in the past, never had much result with this, so maybe this could be one that we could look at in the future. Photosystem, and we were seeing that increase in photochemical health in response to spermidine in the physiological data, and so our gene expression data is in line with that, because we saw some photosystem 1 reaction centers in the thylakoid membrane were upregulated, and that could help with photosynthesis under drought stress as well. So, if you look at the effects of spermidine under drought stress, you can see how many are upregulated and downregulated, and see the genes that were in common. So about 3,000 genes were in common if you compare without spermidine treatment, and if you compare with spermidine treatment, and then there are some genes that were unique to either condition. And then if you kind of focus in on there, the major slices of the pie here, and I apologize for the horribly small text, but that's kind of what I have to deal with this type of software and this large amount of genes. So a lot of binding of things, antioxidants stand out a lot, transcription effector activity are again major players here. So things that are probably the most obvious and probably the next thing that we'll look at would be some of these antioxidant activities, since they were upregulated under drought stress in only the spermidine-treated plants. And I have that kind of documented here again. So the genes that were unique to spermidine-treated plants under drought stress that did not respond without spermidine treatment are here. And some of those interesting ones could be response to temperature stimulus, response to stress, cellular response to stimulus, or response to hormone stimulus. So again, a lot of work in the future to figure out if these things are important. And then one of the major questions would be, well, you're doing all this work on polyamines related to drought stress. Well, is there even any response in those genes to, is there polyamine synthesis genes responding to either drought stress or the spermidine treatment itself? And the SAMs, one of the major enzymes in the biosynthetic pathways of spermidine and spermine, and further away is putrescine. We did see some changes. These were actually upregulated in the spermidine-treated plants under drought stress, but was not regulated in the controls exposed to drought stress. And then, so we also saw some other, so if you focus in on those unique dysferminine treated plants under drought stress, some interesting things, like DNA repair protein, different chaperone proteins, heat shock proteins, and we didn't have any temperature as a factor per se, but they're often, that often happens in different abiotic stresses. You get genes that are, chaperones or something that are just in common among different stresses. So I know that was a lot, but if there's any questions, I'd be very happy, and I'd like to acknowledge the Michigan Turfgrass Foundation and Project Green for support of this pretty big project. Thank you.